97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like, whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Welcome into the second hour of Wiggins America. I want to tell you a little bit about what the rest of the world is doing in areas that we don't usually talk about. Thanks for being here. A Russian mission is en route to the moon for the first time since 1976. Bet you didn't see that coming. Of all the things that Russia could be doing right now in the midst of, I'm going to say losing a war, even if they end up taking over Ukraine, which they still very well could, They've lost this war. I mean, they might win the land, and that is it, because there is basically nothing positive for them in this war anymore. They have lost everything. I mean, right now, even. They've lost their international standing. They're exposed as being much weaker militarily than we thought, and economically. They're doing things to try to combat that. But I don't know if this is one of them. Maybe. Further signs that we're in a new era of space exploration. For several decades in the second half of the 20th century, the United States and the Soviet Union launched a series of missions into space. These range from crewed flights into orbit to missions to the surface of the moon. And after a long period of space exploration being oriented away from the moon, a second era of lunar exploration has begun. NASA's Artemis program, that's our own, is perhaps the highest profile example of this, but it's far from the only one. And this highlights a lot about the politics involved. Just like last century's efforts to voyage to the moon, Russia is also making its presence felt, as Jonathan O'Callaghan writes for Nature. The first Russian mission to the moon since 1976 is now underway. And O'Callaghan notes that the mission will probably take about 5 days to reach the moon's orbit and is slated to land near the south pole of the moon next week, August 21st. But what is the one thing that makes this era of lunar exploration, moon exploration, different from that of previous decades? There are a lot more nations in the mix. Guess who we're talking about? Yep, China. And also, though, India, along with Russia. They all have plans to send missions to the moon with India's craft already in lunar orbit. So a private mission to the moon was set to land there earlier this year, but the craft did not succeed from India. As Nature reports, the primary goal of this mission, here's the whole point, where the politics come involved. The primary goal of this mission and all of these missions involves searching for ice below the lunar surface. The presence of lunar ice could pave the way for larger scale human habitation. And yes, if you're watching, for all mankind, this probably sounds very familiar. We'll know more later this month when Luna 25 reaches its destination and begins the next phase of its mission. The reason I say that this is involved with politics is because, of course, there is a space race happening. It's not one that we talk about a whole lot. But when you hear that Russia, in the midst of crippling economic sanctions and a war, and just, they're just a mess, that they're still sending ships to the moon, well, it says two things, probably. One is that they want to be seen as, hey, no, we're actually okay. Look, we're sending a ship to the moon. Nations do that a lot. Not send ships to the moon, but they signal. They virtue signal, in a way, that we're doing okay. But also that Russia, maybe if it's not just signaling, that they realize that there is something valuable about being involved in the space race. You know who else realized that? Donald Trump. He started the Space Force. And guess what Hollywood did? They just laughed at him. They made a funny show with Steve Carell about a bunch of buffoons running this program. But ultimately, what's happened since then? What happened under Obama? What happened under Biden? Now, Obama, I'll give him at least, was competent. He was doing a lot of far-left ideological moves that I would disagree with vehemently, but he was competent in doing them. This administration is a weird mixture. Jim Carafano said this at the Heritage event a couple weeks ago. If you were there, you know. He said they're a weird mixture, and he's in D.C., and all these guys are, so they're much more plugged in even than we are, of incompetence and evil. And I don't know if he used the word evil, but it was something like that. It was like they do know what they're doing in a lot of ways, and in a lot of other ways, they just don't, and they're failing. And the border is probably a good example of that, where they kind of know what they're doing, but they also are just failing. It's like they have an agenda, and they're bad at implementing the agenda, so it actually drives the agenda more. You follow me? I think space and really foreign policy in general is another one of those areas. They don't really know what they're doing with foreign policy. I saw a guy mentioning over the weekend, last weekend, that we have cameras on all of our ports to assure nothing happens to them, and all of the cameras are made in China. Well, guess what? China probably has access to those, so that if we ever were to deploy a naval fleet to protect Taiwan, like if there's an invasion of Taiwan by China, they would know instantly. People are raising red flags with multiple issues regarding mainly China, but also Russia, really foreign policy issues across the board. And the Biden administration just doesn't really know what to do about them. They're horrible at anything relating to international affairs. Now, at domestic affairs, they are a little bit more competent, but they're competent in all the wrong ways. They're pushing a hard Marxist social agenda, communism. I mean, they're pushing hard, and they're not even hiding it anymore. But the reason I bring up the Russia moon story is just to say that isn't it weird that when you have a competent president slash administration, and that's what's weird about Trump, is he was able to get so many things done, and people fought him every step of the way, not just the deep state, but a lot of times his own cabinet, a lot of the Washington insiders, I guess you could call them swamp creatures, deep state, they just didn't like the way he did things, and they didn't really work very hard for him, and sometimes actively worked against him, and we know the rest of Washington was as well, but he got a lot done. And he's a strange mix of both bravado, which is good at getting headlines and good at getting attention, which you do need to do if you're going to be a politician or some sort of figure, and practicality. Usually, if you're really good at being an attention hog, you're not really that practical. And usually, if you're really good at being practically efficient, you're not that good at being an attention hog. And he actually is good at both of those things. You know he's good at getting attention. I don't have to convince you of that. But when you run a business, a multinational business, look, I know lots of people in business. I do business myself. I know lots of people who run small businesses. I know people who run bigger businesses. And I know a lot of people that have no money but are really good at running business, and they're gaining money, but they're just early on. That's the hardworking small businessman. Then I know people who have a lot of money who are bad at managing it, people from church and stuff that have fallen into money, who didn't really earn it, who are bad at gaining it. So you really have to be able to do both to make a large company. Even if you don't end up running it real well, Trump's done a pretty good job, but he does a lot of steak knives and Trump University and some of that goofy stuff. But all this stuff, you know, if you're running a big company and you are the guy running it or girl running it, you know what you're doing. You're very practical. And sometimes you declare bankruptcy on businesses because it's practical. I mean, these are all the games you play. Trump does know how to do that. You don't do what he's done without being able to do some practical things. So it's a weird mix. And I think the whole point of what I'm saying is it's very rare to find somebody who can do both. Usually, you're trying to find somebody who can be pragmatic enough to be a good president. And I think that's what Ron DeSantis is falling into right now. He's really good at running a government And I think he's fantastic at being the governor of Florida. I'd love to see somebody similar be the governor of Missouri or Illinois, for that matter. Keep my fingers crossed. But he's not great at getting attention. He's not good at fighting that battle. The reason he's gotten attention in the past is because of his legislation, because of his executive orders and things and that he's pushed, but not because he's good at manipulating media like Trump is. So it's weird that I think we've got a guy here who actually is good at doing both, regardless of what you think of him. Regardless. I do think he's good at doing both of those things. Let me know. Hey, a lot of people have been chiming in recently. I appreciate that, and disagreeing with me. So let me know if you do. Not just about this, but about anything. At Radio Wiggins on Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook. Those are the easiest ways. WigginsAmerica.com has a way that you can contact me on there, but I can't contact you back. So if you send me a message, I'll see it, but I can't respond. Thanks for listening. This is Wiggins America. We're going to take a short break. We have a guest coming in next who's got a new film called Gotaways. It's with the Epic Times, so there's like a connection with the Epic Times and this film. And it's about a very specific problem on the border. So we talk about broad issues. This one's a little bit more specific. And this film is brand new. Stick around. You'll hear about it next. On the phone with us this weekend, Kay Rubicek. She is it's not reality anymore. It's unscripted. She's an award-winning producer, director, and editor of nonfiction programming. That's the term I was looking for. Kay, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So your documentary, is it coming out soon or is it already out?
It's just out now.
Okay, yeah. So it's called Gotaways, The Hidden Border Crisis. And we'll just start with that. Just give us an overview of what Gotaways, The Hidden Border Crisis, is.
So I think most Americans, we know that there is the border's open. We know that illegal immigrants are just coming on through. But there's terms like gotaways that border authorities, they know. They use this all the time. But we don't know it. We see on the media the give-ups, the people who come across, usually women and children, and they give themselves to border authorities because they think they're going to be able to get in, and oftentimes they do. But the people who have a criminal record who know they won't be able to get in and will be likely pushed back or put through into more difficulty than others, right? They're the gotaways. They're the ones who come through undetected. They're evading border patrol. They're not giving themselves up. They often have a criminal record. Sometimes they're involved in all types of criminal activities. They're the gotaways that we never see on the media, and that's what this documentary shows you. It's something that's never been shown before.
So, Kay, a lot of the numbers that we see about border encounters and things and illegal immigration numbers, the gotaways are really the biggest problem within that, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, that's right. There's groups of people coming through illegally, but we got to look a bit more closely at it because we're seeing they're coming through all over the country. So, yeah, the gotaways, 1.7 million that we know of in the last 2 years under the current administration. There's a lot more that haven't been accounted for, but they're the ones that we know of. They're the ones that are evading Border Patrol. And when we see crimes going up in our cities by illegal immigrants, it's most likely these gotaways that are coming through that are causing that problem.
As you're doing this documentary, or as you have done it since it's done now, as you're exploring this topic of gotaways, because I like how focused this documentary is on that topic in particular, because there's a lot, we talk a lot about the border in general, but not about this specific topic. Is this a political problem? Is this something that the Biden administration could have fixed, or is this a problem for every administration?
I'll give you an example. We focus on one small town, which just gives you just the tip of the iceberg, but it takes you right there. And they have always had border issues forever, because they're on the border. They share a border with Mexico.
Right.
This is Kinney County, southern Texas. They used to see 5 to 6 prosecutions a month for border crimes. Now they're seeing 500 to 600 a month, you know, at the highest numbers. That's extreme. Now, that is under the current administration. They didn't see that before. So, you know, something definitely could and should be done by this administration. That, of course, there's always been border issues, but under the current administration, it's gone to an absolute extreme.
Kay Rubicek is on the phone with us. She's an award-winning producer, director, and editor, and her new film is Gotaways, The Hidden Border Crisis. You've been working with the Epoch Times on this. Why did they want to, why did the team want to approach this topic?
Well, Charlotte Cuthbertson is the director of this movie, and I was reporting with her on the border 2 years ago in 2021. And when I saw the access that she had, she basically moved there to do her reporting from there. The Epoch Times, sort of sent her there to say, "Well, we know this is an issue. Let's cover this." And she's been on more than 240 hours riding along with sheriffs, border authorities, getting access to ranchers who. They don't always want their stories out there because their properties are wide open to these criminals and illegal immigrants coming right through their land and endangering their families. So she's been up close and personal. Basically, a production crew of one in most cases has been Charlotte front seat, giving you you get this front row seat. Basically, it's like a cop show. You're riding along in the sheriff car. Seeing illegal immigrants being picked up, car chase, arrests, accidents, and American citizens also being arrested because they're being lured to go and make, you know, quick money by the cartels and whoever else to bring across illegal immigrants. So they're involving in human smuggling, and we capture all of that on camera.
Kay, that sounds super fascinating, the movie in general, but this topic... this larger topic of the border, you know, there's a lot of, it seems as if we've been talking about this, especially on the radio here in talk radio land for 2.5-3 years. And it's as if we keep saying the same thing, you know, it's the same story over and over because nobody's fixing it. But in the last couple weeks, you know, there's been the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, there's been the governor of Massachusetts, the new mayor of Chicago, although less so, they're addressing this problem, and all of a sudden Democrats are talking about it. You know, do you see something maybe beginning to change now because of that?
Yes, I think there's a lot of things happening. There's movies like Sound of Freedom coming out, which is showing another side of human smuggling, and we're looking at human smuggling from, you know, the inside,
right,
in America in this movie. We need to be talking about, and I know, like you said, we have been talking about this for a long time, but we're looking at it on the surface. And for me, when I went to the border to report and I saw it the first time 2 years ago up close, and I saw the cartel members right in front of me, so blatant, like they're laughing. We had bright light cameras on them, you know, lights on them and cameras. They did not care. And they're bringing women and children. Hundreds I saw in one night in one point in the river, in the Rio Grande River, southern Texas. And meanwhile, just down, you know, where we aren't shining the lights, there's, you know, other rafts coming across with possibly drugs, arms, and gotaways. So but when I saw it myself, it changed my perspective. You know, I thought I understood the border crisis. And you know, I do theoretically, and now we're seeing it in our homes, in our hometowns. But until you actually see what the people on the border have been experiencing for years, then it's still just talk. So that's why we wanted to make this movie, so that you can see it. And that way, when you talk about it, you can have a more, you know, hear me, I'm getting all kind of, you know, revved up about this because, you know, I've been there.
Yeah.
And in this movie, we take you there. I think people need to feel that. We need to start getting our words right about what types of people are coming in, who are the give-ups, who are the gotaways, how many. We've got to be asking the right questions. And that's when we just get more of a groundswell and say, we've got to draw the line. We don't let criminals come into our homes. If you let them come into our country without going through the front door, then you're disrespecting our country, you're disrespecting our homes. It reflects on how our homes are being respected or disrespected. So I think we've got to be starting to push this now, but we need the right language and stories to tell. So, you know, that's kind of, this is a tool that we have to give to people.
Kay, you mentioned Sound of Freedom. What are your hopes for this movie? You know, this is a different topic, obviously, but they're related. What are your hopes that this movie can do for the subject of the border?
We need to understand, we need to value life, right? I made a movie a few years ago called Hard to Believe about the killing of innocent prisoners of conscience in China for the sale of their organs done by the state. So I've been looking into this issue of human smuggling, trafficking, body parts, all of that for a long time. So, you know, I wasn't shocked by any of the content in Sound of Freedom, but I was just so glad that people are starting to talk more about this, because it's really hard to look at these crimes. And this is, I guess, something I've been doing for a long time, and I'm glad that I can talk to more people about it now, because before, if I tried to say something, they'd say, oh, I don't know about that. Seems too hard to believe. But we need to realize that this is all these political, socialist type communist agendas that try to make us dehumanize each other is what leads to things like human trafficking, smuggling, treating children and other groups as non-humans. And that's what we really fundamentally, I think we've got to get back to basics, where we see each other as human beings, all created equal under God. That's my opinion. As opposed to, you know, there's an elite group that controls, make the rules, and they want to play God. And that's when we start to break down these structures that have been put in place to really control us, and we can get back to the fundamentals of what this country is made on, and what people of faith have, you know, that there's, we are created with purpose and meaning. And I think that's something, I'm going kind of broad here, but really that's what I hope these, I think I see these movies leading to, that where we start to value ourselves more and each other.
Yeah, and see the reality of these issues, too, in a way that we maybe haven't yet. Kay, how do people see, you know, I'm sure people have heard of the Epoch Times, but not Gotaways. How do people see Gotaways, the hidden border crisis?
So go to gotawaysfilm.com, gotawaysfilm.com, and you will be able to access it there. You can get, just for a couple bucks, you can get a trial subscription, and you'll get access to the movie.
Great. It's called Gotaways, the Hidden Border Crisis. Case, thanks so much for sharing this movie with everybody and sharing your time with us this weekend.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more Wiggins America. Tricia, thank you so much for coming back and talking about this subject that I know that you are kind of an expert in.
Brian, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to hear what I am an expert about.
I actually probably should apologize before we start talking about this.
It's always a good start.
I opened this show by talking about how most Americans aren't paying as close attention as we all are to the indictments and all this stuff, because it's really, most Americans know what's going on in Star Wars and Harrison Ford. And now here I am, not only doing celebrity gossip, I'm actually going below that, because this person isn't even really a celebrity. They're just an online influencer. But I am sucked in to this story.
They gotcha?
Oh, they got me hooked.
Interesting. I know, the kids are all into these influencers. For us, it used to be the Brad Pitts and the Julia Roberts, and we cared who was dating who and who was wearing what. No, it's all online influencers now.
And this is exactly that. I've never heard of this person in my life, but now, anytime I see a headline involving Lil Tay Tay,
Lil Tay Tay.
I'll tell you who she is. It says that, and I honestly did not know any of this before this story started. Lil Tay achieved viral fame as a 9-year-old social media influencer. The self-proclaimed youngest flexer of the century. Don't even know what that means. Like, I really don't know if she was a bodybuilder or if she was just outspoken. She's 9 years old. She became known for her expletive-filled Instagram videos.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Depicting a lavish hip-hop lifestyle. But I think she's Asian from the picture. I can't tell entirely. She may be like Pacific Islander. I'm not really sure. But she has a $200,000 sports car despite not having a driver's license.
What, she just sit in it?
I don't know. In another video filmed atop a Beverly Hills viewpoint, she proclaimed, "I run L.A." Lil Tay was associated with popular rappers, including, listen to these big names, Chief Keef and XXXTentacion.
I think those are weed terms. I think so.
Okay, because I don't even know what that word is. That makes sense that it would be a weed term. She called XXXTentacion a father figure. So I don't know what kind of life she was living. She drew backlash for using the N-word in one of her videos.
At nine.
Well, I'm assuming she started at nine and
how
that this went on
now?
For years. I don't know. I will tell you as I find out because I'm just following the twists and turns of the story. I don't really know anything about her career, though. So that's what... So here and here's the other thing. She kind of disappeared from the internet about 5 years ago. She was this big thing, and then she just stopped, and nobody knew why. And apparently it was because she was in a custody battle between her parents. But that's just come out. Nobody really knew that was going on. In June of 2018, Lil Tay's Instagram was completely wiped clean of everything that it had.
Oh, no.
I know.
All her life's content. Work.
Yeah. And the words, help me, were posted to the her story. That's it.
Whoa.
Okay?
This took a turn.
Right. So now here's what's happening with Lil Tay Tay. I think it's actually just Lil Tay, but I like Lil Tay Tay. A statement was put out on her Instagram that says, it is with a heavy heart that we share the devastating news of our beloved Claire, I guess that's her real name's, sudden and tragic passing. her last name is Hope, so Claire Hope is her name. Hope's family announced on Lil Tay's Instagram page, which has 3.3 million followers. That's bigger than some politicians.
No, that's huge.
We have no words to express the unbearable loss and indescribable pain. This outcome was entirely unexpected and has left us all in shock. Her brother's passing, didn't even know about that, adds even more unimaginable depth to our grief. During this time of immense sorrow, we kindly ask for privacy as we grieve this overwhelming loss that the circumstances surrounding Claire and her brother's passing are still under investigation. Claire will remain forever in our hearts, her absence leaving an irreplaceable void that we felt by all who knew and loved her. Okay.
Okay. That's so terrible.
I read that.
And very concerning.
Last week. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, Lil Tay Tay is a thing. I don't know anything about it, but apparently she just died. And it's suspicious because they're also saying her brother also died.
And there was that custody battle with her parents, so there was already some turmoil in the family.
Clearly, this is a messed up situation.
This is a 2020 if I've ever heard one.
Right? Report this week comes out. Despite reported death, Lil Tay allegedly alive. Update, Lil Tay is alive and her family told her family told TMZ in a statement that her Instagram had been hacked. So somebody hacked her Instagram. And
no,
put out,
they didn't. This Lil Tay's family, Lil Tay, the...
Now you're tracking with me.
Sneaky.
Now you're tracking with
influence
me.
Influence bugger.
Her management told Variety on Wednesday that she had died. Her management said this.
Somebody should be in trouble for this.
No kidding,
that is not right.
Told Variety on Wednesday she had died, confirming the statement posted to her Instagram, which has since been deleted. And now her family tells TMZ, no, that's not true. It was a hack.
Ew.
No
gross. These
idea.
People are gross.
Isn't that disgusting?
The thing was gross from the beginning.
I got now my entire point
the
of
the thing
bringing this
being
up,
her yeah. shtick was gross from the beginning.
Totally.
But
I still have never even seen a video. I really don't care about whatever she was doing. I care
because
that
she was nine. Nobody cares what a 9 year old is
some
doing.
9 year old do hip hop videos.
There
where
are
9 year
olds everywhere doing ridiculous things.
Yeah,
you could find a 9 year old at any time just doing dumb stuff. You
by
don't
the
need
way,
to...
whenever you walk past somebody doing a video on their phone, isn't it weird? Like,
yeah.
you can see that they're doing a perform, mm-hmm. like, anywhere, in a store or at a mm-hmm. pool or something.
I'm actually surprised I don't see it more.
I am, too.
I don't see it as much as, for as much content as out there, I don't see it as much as you'd
think
you would.
And for as many videos you see that are in public, you'd think you'd see public videos more.
All the time.
And you just kind of mm-hmm. don't. I've made a couple for the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah, other than you. I think I see you doing it.
I always feel a little weird about doing this. I'm going to wait till nobody's around. But the whole point of me bringing this up is, if this is an adult, I mean, tell me if I'm off here. If this is an adult doing this kind of stuff, I kind of tip my hat to him. Andy Kaufman, these people are PR machines. I don't necessarily love it, but I do respect it.
No, what there's nothing to respect
but
about
this is
faking
a kid.
No, there's nothing to respect about a PR machine adult doing that either. It's a gross way to get attention.
Well, that's why I asked, because I actually do, when I read it and they hook me in, especially when it's somebody I don't even know.
When they hook you, but you're purposely deceiving people with tragedy.
Yeah.
And that is gross.
And it's one of those things, like, to me, this is like a prank where somebody on April Fool's, like, if somebody actually gets you with a good prank on April Fool's, I got to go, oh, okay, that was pretty good. But if it's just like somebody comes up to you and you go and goes, hey, I had eggs today for breakfast. And you go, oh, okay. And they go, boom, gotcha, I had waffles.
Sucker.
And you're like, that's not even, like, how was I supposed to know that that was false? Why would I even care? These kind of pranks are that to me in a way, because how was I supposed to know you were lying? I didn't get deceived. Like,
I think
purely deceived me.
I think a line is crossed when you claim that somebody has died.
Yeah,
in my opinion. There was that whole stunt with the dad that pretended like he was dead and then had his family gather and
yes.
Showed up to his own funeral. I think you've gone too far.
Maybe that's the
line. I think emotions are involved. And especially when you're in the public eye like this child is, apparently, there's money on the line, too. You don't have 3.1 million followers without having...
Yeah.
You've got companies that are paying to be on your page. Like, there are people footing the bill for your lifestyle. And you're not only deceiving your followers, you're deceiving, like, it's the trust that company has it. In your content, I think it's gross.
I think you found the line. I actually appreciate crazy stunts in a way.
Yeah.
Just because of the nuts it takes to do
sure,
it.
Sure. I mean, the old radio, like, sleep on a billboard kind of thing.
The stunty
or
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily love it, but I respect it in a way. But if it involves a kid or it involves faking a death, that probably is where you go, nah.
I think another line, and people like this one too, is the fake lottery numbers. You see that? Where somebody gives a loved one tickets with winning lottery numbers, and then...
that is like emotional manipulation.
Yeah, I think that's another one that should be off limits.
You really changed my mind on this.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Oliver Anthony is the name of the guy singing this song. If you haven't heard it yet, then you probably are not online, because that song is blowing up everywhere. In fact, I think it has topped the country charts. I don't think it was solely responsible for knocking Jason Aldean off of that top spot. I think it had already fallen, but I think this song has risen to the top of country, and it is a unique song. Again, I encourage you to go listen to the whole thing. I can't play it here because unless I edit it, because there's some language things that don't work for the radio that I have to kind of edit around. But Oliver Anthony is his name, Rich Men North of Richmond. And if you just get alone and listen to that song, not too often I can say this, it kind of does something to you. There's something real raw about that song, that he is talking about some political issues, but it doesn't seem as if the point of it is to talk about politics. He's talking about the world. That he old soul, old-timey person living in the new world. Sounds like even when he says it that could have been the name of the song, but he called it Rich Men North of Richmond, which is Virginia, which is talking about D.C. and maybe even the whole elite East Coast. I don't know what he had in mind, but you can check it out for yourself. Got to tell you, I live on a road that's only got about 7 houses on it, but the road that leads to that road is real long, and I live in Illinois, and they are working on the gutters on the long road, and it has been such a weird thing that it's been going on for probably a week now. Every time I drive that road, which is every day because that's right by where I live, I'm actually going below that, because this person isn't even really a celebrity. They're just an online influencer.
Mm.
But I am sucked in to this story.
They gotcha?
Oh, they got me hooked.
Interesting. I know the kids are all into these influencers. For us, it used to be the Brad Pitts and the Julia Roberts, and we cared who was dating who and who was wearing what. No, it's all online influencers now.
And this is exactly that. I've never heard of this person in my life, but now anytime I see a headline involving Lil Tay Tay,
Lil Tay Tay.
I'll tell you who she is. It says that, and I honestly did not know any of this before this story started. Lil Tay achieved viral fame as a 9-year-old social media influencer. The self-proclaimed youngest flexer of the century. Don't even know what that means. Like, I really don't know if she was a bodybuilder or if she was just outspoken. She's 9 years old. She became known for her expletive-filled Instagram videos.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Depicting a lavish hip-hop lifestyle. But I think she's Asian from the picture. I can't tell entirely. She may be like Pacific Islander. I'm not really sure. But she has a $200,000 sports car despite not having a driver's license.
What, she just sit in it?
I don't know. In another video filmed atop a Beverly Hills viewpoint, she proclaimed, "I run L.A." Lil Tay was associated with popular rappers, including, listen to these big names, Chief Keef and XXXTentacion.
I think those are weed terms.
I
think so.
Okay, because I don't even know what that word is. That makes sense that it would be a weed term.
Mm-hmm.
She called XXXTentacion a father figure. So I don't know what kind of life she was living. She drew backlash for using the N-word in one of her videos.
At 9.
Well, I'm assuming she started at 9 and
how
that this went on
now?
For years. I don't know. I will tell you as I find out because... I'm just following the twists and turns of the story. I don't really know anything about her career, though. So that's what... So here's the other thing. She kind of disappeared from the internet about 5 years ago. She was this big thing, and then she just stopped, and nobody knew why. And apparently it was because she was in a custody battle between her parents. But that's just come out. Nobody really knew that was going on. In June of 2018, Lil Tay's Instagram was completely wiped clean of everything that it had.
Oh, no.
I know.
Her all life's that content. Work.
Yeah. And the words, "help me," were posted to the her story. That's it.
Whoa.
Okay?
This took a turn.
Right. So now here's what's happening with Lil Tay Tay. I think it's actually just Lil Tay, but I like Lil Tay Tay. A statement was put out on her Instagram that says, "It is with a heavy heart that we share the devastating news of our beloved Claire," I guess that's her real name's, "sudden and tragic passing." Her last name is Hope, so Claire Hope is her name. Hope's family announced on Lil Tay's Instagram page, which has 3.3 million followers. That's bigger than some politicians.
No, that's huge.
"We have no words to express the unbearable loss and indescribable pain. This outcome was entirely unexpected and has left us all in shock. Her brother's passing," didn't even know about that, "adds even more unimaginable depth to our grief. During this time of immense sorrow, we kindly ask for privacy as we grieve this overwhelming loss, that the circumstances surrounding Claire and her brother's passing are still under investigation. Claire will remain forever in our hearts, her absence leaving an irreplaceable void that we felt by all who knew and loved her." Okay.
Okay. That's so terrible.
I read that.
And very concerning.
Last week. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, Lil Tay Tay is a thing. I don't know anything about it, but apparently she just died. And it's suspicious because they're also saying her brother also died.
And there was that custody battle with her parents, so there was already some turmoil in the family.
Clearly, this is a messed up situation.
This is a 2020 if I've ever heard one.
Right? Report this week comes out. Despite reported death, Lil Tay allegedly alive. Update, Lil Tay is alive and her family told TMZ in a statement that her Instagram had been hacked. So somebody hacked her Instagram. And
no,
put out,
they didn't. This little Tay's family, Lil Tay, the...
Now you're tracking with me.
Sneaky.
Now you're tracking with
influence
me.
Influence bugger.
Her management told Variety on Wednesday that she had died. Her management said this.
Somebody should be in trouble for this.
No kidding,
right? That is not right.
Told Variety on Wednesday she had died, confirming the statement posted to her Instagram, which has since been deleted. And now her family tells TMZ, no, that's not true. It was a hack.
Ew. Gross. These people are gross.
Isn't that disgusting?
The thing was gross from the beginning.
I got now my entire point.
The thing
being
her shtick was gross from the beginning.
Totally.
But
I still have never even seen a video. I really don't care about whatever she was doing. I care
because she was nine. Nobody cares what a 9 year old is doing.
9 year old do hip hop videos.
There are 9 year olds everywhere doing ridiculous things.
Yeah,
you can find a 9 year old at any time just doing dumb stuff.
By the way, whenever you walk past somebody doing a video on their phone, isn't it weird? Like, you can see that they're doing a perform, like, anywhere, in a store or at a pool or something.
I'm actually surprised I don't see it more.
I am, too.
I don't see it as much as, for as much content as out there, I don't see it as much as you'd
think. And for as much, as many videos you see that are in public, you'd think you'd see public videos more.
All the time.
And you just kind of don't. I've made a couple for the Annie Fry Show.
Yeah, other than you. I think I see you doing it a lot.
I always feel a little weird about doing this. I'm going to wait till nobody's around. But the whole point of me bringing this up is, if this is an adult, tell me if I'm off here. If this is an adult doing this kind of stuff, I got to tip my hat to him. Andy Kaufman, these people are PR machines. I don't necessarily love it, but I do respect it.
No, there's nothing to respect
but
about
this is
faking
a kid.
No, there's nothing to respect about a PR machine adult doing that either. It's a gross way to get attention.
Well, that's why I asked, because I actually do, when I read it and they hook me in, especially when it's somebody I don't even know.
When they hook you, but you're purposely deceiving people with tragedy.
Yeah.
And that is gross.
And it's one of those things, like, to me, this is like a prank. Where somebody on April Fool's, like if somebody actually gets you with a good prank on April Fool's, I got to go, oh, okay, that was pretty good. But if it's just like somebody comes up to you and goes, hey, I had eggs today for breakfast. And you go, oh, okay. And they go, boom, gotcha, I had waffles.
Sucker.
And you're like, that's not even, like, how was I supposed to know that was false? Why would I even care? These kind of pranks are that to me in a way, because how was I supposed to know you were lying? I didn't get deceived. Deceived me.
I think a line is crossed when you claim that somebody has died.
In
my opinion. There was that whole stunt with the dad that pretended like he was dead and then had his family gather and showed up to his own funeral. I think you've gone too far.
Maybe that's the
I think
line.
Emotions are involved. And especially when you're in the public eye, like this child is apparently, there's money on the line too. You don't have 3.1 million followers without having, you've got companies that are paying to be on your page. Like there are people footing the bill for your lifestyle. And you're not only deceiving your followers, you're deceiving like it's the trust that company has it. In your content, I think it's gross.
I think you found the line. I actually appreciate crazy stunts in a way.
Yeah.
Just because of the nuts it takes to do
sure,
it.
Sure. I mean, the old radio, like, sleep on a billboard kind of thing.
The stunty
or
stuff.
Like,
I don't necessarily love it, but I respect it in a way. But if it involves a kid or it involves faking a death, that probably is where you go, nah.
I think another line, and people like this one too, is the fake lottery numbers. You see that? Where somebody gives a loved one tickets with winning lottery numbers, and then
that is like emotional manipulation.
Yeah, I think that's another one that should be off limits.
You really changed my mind on this.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Oliver Anthony is the name of the guy singing this song. If you haven't heard it yet, then you probably are not online, because that song is blowing up everywhere. In fact, I think it has topped the country charts. I don't think it was solely responsible for knocking Jason Aldean off of that top spot. I think it had already fallen, but I think this song has risen to the top of country, and it is a unique song. Again, I encourage you to go listen to the whole thing. I can't play it here because unless I edit it, because there's some language things that don't work for the radio that I can't, I have to kind of edit around. But yeah, Oliver Anthony is his name, Richmond, north of Richmond. And if you just get alone and listen to that song, not too often I can say this, it kind of does something to you. There's something real raw about that song that he is talking about some political issues, but it doesn't seem as if the point of it is to talk about politics. He's talking about the world. That he old soul, old-timey person living in the new world. Sounds like even when he says it that that could have been the name of the song, but he called it Rich Men North of Richmond, which is Virginia, which is talking about D.C., and maybe even the whole elite East Coast. I don't know what he had in mind, but you can check it out for yourself. Got to tell you, I live on a road that's only got about 7 houses on it, but the road that leads to that road is real long, and I live in Illinois, and they are working on the gutters on their long road, and it has been such a weird thing that it's been going on for probably a week now. Every time I drive that road, which is every day because that's right by where I live, I get almost like sappy sentimental, and it's not over gutters. It's that I'm watching, this is a very crummy road, and it shouldn't be. I mean, it's a well-traveled road, and it's just a mess. It's a mess of a road, and as they've been redoing the gutters, I've been hopeful. It's like I've seen, oh, somebody's actually taking the time to notice us around here and not Chicago, or, you know, I'm not even trying to make it political because it's really not. It's like that somebody's noticing us and investing in us, and things are getting better. And I just mean the gutters. I mean, it's not even a big thing. Hopefully they redo the road itself and they're starting with it. I don't know. But I know that they're doing something new. They're replacing something old that was falling apart with something new. And it's strange to say that when I drive it, it gives me hope. I mean, we live in a country where still there's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of people still chasing the American dream. They're trying to make their lives better, but it just doesn't seem that it's as much as it used to be. Thank God that it's still there, but I don't know. It's been a strange thing for me to be reflecting on all of this based on the gutters. I think it's just a matter of being noticed, you know, like things are just going down. I think that's why that song hits, is that everybody feels it. Everybody feels that things aren't going the right direction, but nobody can agree on what the solution is. You'll know that I'll talk about spiritual things on this show being the solution, that quite frankly, it's not just spiritual things. It's like the God of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Jesus being the solution to the problems. All the political things we talk about, being politics downstream from culture, culture downstream from spirituality and morality, and that has to be the solution to these things. But it's just a weird thing to go through, like all these emotions I go through when I'm staring at these gutters and going, man, I love to see that somebody cares. Somebody's trying to make it better, because all around me, I don't see, especially government, but in so many other areas too, that nobody really cares to try to make it better. And at the same time, I get sad when I see it because I realize that fact. I was going to play a comedy bit here. I think I'm going to hold off on that and do it at the end of next week because it just doesn't seem to fit here now. So come back next week. Get the podcast. Well, we're closing out the show today here. So if you want to hear anything that we did, our interview with the maker of the movie Gotaways, Old Roy, Trisha, both have been in for quite a bit of the show. It's been a good show. So get the podcast, and we will see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Don't work for the radio that I can't. I have to kind of edit around. But yeah, Oliver Anthony is his name, Richmond, north of Richmond. And if you just get alone and listen to that song, not too often I can say this, it kind of does something to you. There's something real raw about that song that he is talking about some political issues, but it doesn't seem as if the point of it is to talk about politics. He's talking about the world, that he old soul, old timey person living in the new world. Sounds like even when he says it, that could have been the name of the song, but he called it Rich Men North of Richmond, which is Virginia, which is talking about D.C. and maybe even the whole elite East Coast. I don't know what he had in mind, but you can check it out for yourself. Got to tell you, I live on a road that's only got about 7 houses on it, but the road that leads to that road is real long. And I live in Illinois, and they are working on the gutters on their long road, and it has been such a weird thing that it's been going on for probably a week now. Every time I drive that road, which is every day because that's right by where I live, I get almost like sappy sentimental, and it's not over gutters. It's that I'm watching. This is a very crummy road. And it shouldn't be. I mean, it's a well-traveled road, and it's just a mess. It's a mess of a road. And as they've been redoing the gutters, I've been hopeful. It's like I've seen, oh, somebody's actually taking the time to notice us around here and not Chicago. Or, you know, I'm not even trying to make it political because it's really not. It's like that somebody's noticing us and investing in us. And things are getting better. And I just mean the gutters. I mean, it's not even a big thing. Hopefully they redo the road itself and they're starting with it. I don't know. But I know that they're doing something new. They're replacing something old that was falling apart with something new. And it's strange to say that when I drive it, it gives me hope. I mean, we live in a country where still there's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of people still chasing the American dream. They're trying to make their lives better, but it just doesn't seem that it's as much as it used to be. Thank God that it's still there, but I don't know. It's been a strange thing for me to be reflecting on all of this based on the gutters. I think it's just a matter of being noticed, you know, like things are just going down. I think that's why that song hits, is that everybody feels it. Everybody feels that things aren't going the right direction, but nobody can agree on what the solution is. You'll know that I'll talk about spiritual things on this show being the solution, that quite frankly, it's not just spiritual things. It's like the God of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Jesus being the solution to the problems. All the political things we talk about, being politics downstream from culture, culture downstream from spirituality and morality, and that has to be the solution to these things. But it's just a weird thing to go through, like all these emotions I go through when I'm staring at these gutters and going, man, I love to see that there somebody cares. Somebody's trying to make it better, because all around me, I don't see, especially government, but in so many other areas too, that nobody really cares to try to make it better. And at the same time, I get sad when I see it, because I realize that fact. I was going to play a comedy bit here. I think I'm going to hold off on that and do it at the end of next week, because it just doesn't seem to fit here now. So come back next week. Get the podcast. Well, we're closing out the show today here. So if you want to hear anything that we did, our interview with the maker of the movie Gotaways, Old Roy, Trisha, both have been in for quite a bit of the show. It's been a good show. So get the podcast, and we will see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.